Don, I'm so glad to have you here. I'm so glad to have met you a few weeks ago, I guess it was, at the Global Talent Conference. And I thought your story was so inspiring. So I wanted to have you as a guest on my podcast, but because I think that your story needs to be told. And I think a lot of people in this world need to hear stories of resilience, of determination, and you're a great example for many young people these days, especially women of color. So it's Women's History Month, and so I'm glad to have you as my guest for this Women's History Month, and I want you to tell your story that you basically presented at the Global Talent Conference. Please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was such a nice conference. I really learned a lot from just the speakers as well as just like interacting with everyone there. A little bit about myself. Like I mentioned before, I was born in Ghana, but then my family and I, we came into Edmonton, Alberta. That's where we decided to locate when we moved to Canada. And I had a childhood like no other. I'm sure many of us have unique stories and background, and it makes us who we are. For myself, I ended up losing my biological mom at the age of 6, and shortly after my biological dad. And I was adopted into a new environment. And for a kid that age, it's important to keep things consistent and have kind of like a routine going. And when your routine is disrupted, it can cause a whole lot of other things you have to deal with along the lines.
That's right.
And just learning how to maneuver that was really something that grew me into the person that I am today. And the biggest thing that helped me was sports, as well as family and learning about the different cultures and the beauty of being unique, you know? And I think there's something to be said about each of us having our own uniqueness.
So, tell me a little bit, because I'm in the world of foster caregiving. So I've experienced for myself, children coming into care, not knowing their identity. So I want you to speak a little bit about that and how that shaped you, as an adult now.
Yeah, I haven't experienced the foster care system myself. I had the privilege of being adopted by my brother and his wife, who I call my mom. So it's definitely different for sure, because I'm Black originally, and my mom who raised me is a Filipino or Filipina. And just learning new cultures and trying to figure out who I am within that culture while also embracing the challenges and being able to freely speak about those challenges was something that I found. And I feel like a lot of kids being adopted, or whether they're in the foster care system or just lost a parent, that sense of who am I gets lost, you know, because it's now you're trying to figure out who you are in a world that you don't necessarily know if you belong, because you see an example of a perfect family, you know, like that longing for a perfect family. I know for myself, I secretly maybe was in search of that perfect family, you know, mom, dad, siblings all look alike, and I didn't have that. And I had a family that was perfect with our imperfections. And I think that's something that was so beautiful, is that security, knowing that at the end of the day, you will be okay. At the end of the day, there is somebody who loves you. And that search and acceptance of that is hard, because I know although I was experiencing love, I didn't feel like I deserved love. Or, you know, when things are going great, you feel like, oh, I'm waiting for the train wreck to come, you know, like when will it happen? And it's that living in that fear of when will it happen? What's going to happen next? Is this the day that X, Y, and Z is going to change my life? And I think just being adopted into another minority family and just learning different cultures and embracing my own, and slowly just being okay that I don't need to worry about what comes next, you know, like this is permanent. This family's permanent. I'm going to being a place that loves me and fosters me and want
Oh.
to see me grow. But I will say, like, it is hard to accept that. And even till this day, I'm still working on a few things that will help me get more equipped to help others. And
Oh.
just like my journey and want to see, because at the end, I just want everyone to know that there's a place for them. It might not seem like this ideal picture that they have in their head, but
Yeah.
as we get older, we get to create that ideal picture.
Oh my God,
Yeah.
that's so beautiful. I ended up actually talking to your sister at the end of the conference. Wow, she is so proud of you. You know, and she
Yeah.
told me a little bit about the you know, the days and weeks after your mother passed away, and oh, it just touched my heart. But you know, just to see who you are now is truly amazing. And I remember at your speech, the amount of work you're putting into yourself, like being a student and you know, the part-time work and all that. Please go into what you're doing now and how like your past has led you to where you are.
Yeah, I would say for myself, having sport as my foundation and just like the amazing people I've met in sport and the opportunities I've got out of high school, I didn't know what was next. You know, I feel like a lot of students graduating, they have a plan. It's like, oh, they plan this out. This is what I'm supposed to do. And then it doesn't happen, you know, and that's it doesn't happen that causes a lot of people to feel that anxiety or stress or fear of the future or the unknown. And maybe it could feel like a train wreck for some people. For mine was going into my first year of university, not playing any sports and doing full-time school. No sports, no nothing, no extracurricular. I was just a student. And to be completely honest with you, I did not like it. It did not sit well because I felt like I was made for something more. And I couldn't do that at the point that we're at the place where I was at. And so I found a recruitment camp. One of my basketball coaches helped me out and said, "Hey, you might be good for this sport, bobsleigh." And I was like, "I have no idea what you're talking about." I'm like, "But I don't know. I just had that feeling like, okay, I might not know what's over there, but I also don't know what's over here." So if anything happens and the worst I get told is no, at least I tried. Yeah, but I was not told no. And I ended up coming and getting accepted and moving down to Calgary and thrown into this completely new realm of athletics, a level that I have never reached before. And now I'm this young athlete. I was literally the youngest on my team. And just figuring it out and having to mature in the sport and around my peers who have had more experience in the realm of, I would say, elite athleticism.
For sure. Holy. Yeah, and go into the training. Like, is that very different from basketball? You said you know, you played basketball, you love basketball, but then you were put into this world of bobsledding. What was the difference between the two, and how was the feeling? How did you feel between like, okay, do I love basketball, but once you were in bobsledding, did you love bobsledding just as much?
I would say growing up, I played a multitude of sports. So I did basketball, rugby, track and field, Olympic weightlifting, and ultimate frisbee just for fun. And honestly, all of those had qualities that prepared me, even though I might not have known it, for the sport of bobsleigh. I went in, I went on my first ride down the hill, and I was terrified. Like, I already didn't like roller coasters, and you couldn't take me off of the frame of the sled. That's how like shook I was. So I didn't even know like if I wanted to continue, but my pilot at the time said, "Ready to go again?" And I was just like, yeah, of course. Yeah, sure, I'll go again because it's that dynamic of a team. So that dynamic of a team, which is like, I'm literally her support system. We're literally going down this track together. So if I don't get in, it changes a lot of things, you know?
Right.
And I think
Right.
just having that environment of teamwork and learning from different people what it means to be a team, even what it means to be a family, and what that dynamic looks like really prepared me for the whirlwind of the sport bobsleigh. Yeah.
Wow, that's really amazing. So once you got into the training, you started obviously to qualify for the Olympics. You obviously had to do some global competitions, right? Before you qualified. And how did that feel, just competing before the Olympics in those competitions?
I would say it took a lot of work getting there and a lot of self-confidence building that up, because oh my gosh, stop, sorry.
That's okay.
As the youngest I was also quite light, so I really had
Oh.
to put on extra weight and
Oh, I didn't
mass
know
to,
that. Oh.
to just compete. So,
Really?
and once I started to do that sense of identity, because when I came in, I didn't look like the typical bobsledder.
Okay.
I looked like this tiny girl, like, where did you guys get this girl from? And so I really had to, like, okay, like, maybe this is what they're saying, that I
Yeah.
don't belong, I don't fit in, I'm not suited for this sport. But it's like, something is telling me I'm supposed to do this sport, this journey, and I'm going to show it not just to them, but to myself that it is possible. And I worked really hard, had a lot of crashes, and a lot of just learning how to believe in myself and what I'm called to do, and you know, my talents and the skills and everything that I've learned in life has gotten me this far. So clearly, it's for a reason.
Exactly.
And yeah, and just being around high competitive athletes was like, oh my. Like, I walked in and I was just like, okay, like, I'm getting there, but I am not here yet. And it was
Wow.
that experience of just like, I get to learn everything from professionals. You know, I get to say that I don't know what I'm doing, and they tell me it's okay. We can teach you, we can guide you, we can help you learn the ropes. And I think that's so important, that as well as we might not have all the answers, but we shouldn't be afraid to admit that we don't have all the answers. Because, like, if you're in the classroom and you're waiting for the teacher to maybe get to the question, but you haven't asked it, and you're looking around and thinking, oh, maybe this person will have the same question as I, but they don't. And so now you're left unanswered. But if you raise up your hand, as shaky as mine was going up, and you ask those questions, you get the answers that you're looking for, or maybe an answer that'll point you in the right direction.
So you're
Yeah.
telling me through this experience is like, no matter what, like you got that fear there, but you always remain true to who you are. So even if you were scared, you still showed up, right?
I was terrified. Most times, yeah.
That speaks volumes for our audience, and myself included. That's very inspiring because I have that imposter syndrome too, where I'm like, I'm not good enough for my role. I'm not good enough for this, this work that I'm doing. I'm still showing up because I have I have this feeling, this calling that you're talking
Yeah.
about. And then people are, sh do you find that people are starting to show up that are supposed to guide you and support you in your, in your purpose? Is that what
A
happened to
hundred
you through all
percent,
this?
100%. A lot of people, I didn't understand a lot of the things that were happening. I'm like, oh, something is working out for my good. The more I got in tune with that, and the more I learned about who I was and what that was, because I think with that loss of family, initial family, it's you're kind of doing life alone. Like, yes, you have support systems, but you're still like, I don't really know who's there for me. And I'm a Christian, so at the end of the day, like, I knew that he was guiding me. He was the father that I maybe didn't have in person, but he never left me. And sometimes that's so hard to put our trust in something unseen. But when it comes to taking that leap of faith to something that you might be good at, you might fail, but you won't know unless you try. So really taking that leap and trusting, okay, I've gotten this far. how much further can I go? You know, why have I took these steps? Why have these people shown up for me? What am I actually supposed to do? Maybe that involves you taking a step back, watching a movie, writing, journaling, trying to figure out what it is that you really want to do. But I think like it's worth giving it a shot. Even if it's rejection, it's still worth giving it a shot.
Now let's talk about that rejection as being part of that, like the failures, I guess you can say. So what can you talk about, especially in your journey as an Olympian, how these, you know, these negative challenges or these failures have helped you into your path of success? Like what have they taught you?
I would say the biggest thing that they've taught me is only I can say no. You know, like it's important to be your biggest cheerleaders, because there will be a lot of outside noises trying to dim your shine. Like what I mentioned in the speech that I gave is that sometimes people are not afraid of how high you'll go. They're more so afraid of their positioning when you do reach those levels, especially if you're working. It's like, okay, I can climb the ladder, climb. Yeah. But only one person gets a spot. So it's kind of like, okay, who really wants the spot?
Yeah.
And it's hard because when you build community, and especially in sports, those are your family. Those are your family members. You gain trust, you gain respect, you have fun, you guys laugh and cry together, but those are the people who actually care for you, want to see you succeed, and vice versa. So it's like you're always learning more about yourself as you're interacting with everyone and being like, okay, like if they can do it, I can do it too. And I think that's the beauty of sports, is that we can literally look at other people being great and saying, okay, where did they start from?
Yeah.
Okay. They started from here. That means I can get there. If they started from there, I can get there.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's so amazing. Holy. You know, I think about myself, my experience. You know, I wanted to go train and become a, you know, Olympic figure skater. Obviously that I took a different path for many reasons, but what can you speak to on, you know, like, and I've seen so many not even just Olympic skaters, but you know, world figure skaters who've only been Olympians, who, for example, you know, it's kind of like the Oscars. People think, oh, this person's going to win, and they end up not getting the Olympic medal or whatnot. Can you speak to how, like, what would be the difference between, okay, you got the gold medal, now what? As opposed to, you know, maybe you didn't get the Olympic silver or bronze, you were still an Olympian. Does it really matter? You know what I mean? Does it matter that you didn't get any of those medals? And what is the future for people who think that you know, that it shouldn't matter, right? Like, what, you know where I'm going with this? Is like,
yeah.
Sometimes people hold dearly to that title of, you know, Olympic gold medalist, Olympic silver medalist, Olympic bronze medalist. What's wrong with, you know, just being the Olympian? You know, people strive for that top, but I think there's more to it than that, right?
Yeah, no, exactly what you mean. Like even just the title of Olympian, when I got it, it was like, I'm not trying to downplay anything, but it's just like, who was I 10 seconds ago and who was I now? Like, why, just because now there's a title attached to that, it should change, you know? I think like a lot of times people only see the end goal and they don't see like the journey that got you there. So as happy as I am that, you know, I worked so hard to climb that ladder and just figure out who I am in this sport.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I want people to look at the journey. Like, that's something I'm so proud of. And being called an Olympian, when I hear it, that imposter syndrome comes back.
Oh, really?
I'm going to lie.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
But it's just like, it's thinking more so not that identity you are there, but the journey that got you to that identity or that OLY. So yeah. I think like it's so important that as much as it's amazing, I haven't experienced it yet, to win a gold, silver, bronze medal at the Olympics, it's also amazing that you've even got to that level, because you right? went above and beyond. You put your body through yeah. so much. You put your mental health through so much. You put your financial stability through so much. And it's like you sacrifice so much, and at the end, your hard work paid off. You know, it's like, and if that's all that happened, that's still success. And I think it's really just redefining that success
right.
in any field. It doesn't matter if maybe you became a nurse compared to somebody who became a doctor. Maybe that person's success was that doctorate and yours was just being a nurse. So it's just like having different levels of success, and what that right. means to you is the most important, because I feel like when we're chasing other people's value of success, we can kind of have this downward comparison that negatively affects our just like mental health and our self-esteem and where we think we are and where we should be.
Yeah.
Like I think this critical point in our lives of whether it's maybe junior high to high school or early 20s to mid 20s to late 20s to 30s, you know, it's just like if you're constantly letting what other people value as success, you will never be happy. I'm sorry, but like as the work that I've done to get to this point, there was roads, ups and downs of that. I'm not at the point where I want to be, but it's just like, okay, was that really where you wanted to be, or where you kind of were told you should be?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's amazing. And by the way, I'm, you know, I'm honored to have you, an Olympian, be a guest on my podcast, you know? So, you know, let's talk about where, you know, I mean, you spoke about what you're doing now, which is truly, I don't know how you have the time, honestly. But, you know, talk about what you're doing today, please. Like, wow, spectacular.
Well, I'm currently working on graduating from the University of Calgary, and while trying a new sport, track and field.
Wow.
As well as just like balancing part-time as a correctional peace officer. And
wow.
Learning how to speak in front of crowds, because I like these types of conversations one-on-one, but as soon as you put me in front of a crowd, I'm like, like I'm so still that I will not move. Oh. But it's nice that where I started and that little girl who lost her parents, I don't know, like I think like at the end of the day, my goal was just to make her proud, you know, say, hey, like we turned out great.
Oh my god.
And I think like I think at the time it might not have seemed that way, because if you met me when I was that little girl, I was quiet, like you couldn't even get a single word out of me. I'm still quite quiet, but now I have a voice, you know. I have that confidence, I have that self-belief that we can do this. And at the end of the day, I want to just work to continue making her proud and helping anyone along the way who have maybe experienced similar things, whether it's loss of a parent, whether it's coming back into university as a more mature adult and just maneuvering the realm of sports, and also just learning how to love themselves, because I think it's so important to not be so harsh. I think being harsh, there's a certain level to when that harshness can actually turn negative. So I think just like finding that balance of competitiveness, drive, ambition, but also like self-compassion, love, downtime. Like I'm a big napper. If anyone knows anything about me, I schedule my naps. Like you will not reach me, because I find importance in being able to recharge so that I can give my 100% to someone else, you know.
Self-care for sure. Wow, that's amazing. By the way, you're like, to me, I loved your speech, and here's why. It was authentic. You were who you were at any given second moment of that speech. It was truly amazing. Like, I would prefer people like you to be speaking in front of, you know, people like me. I don't want people to, like, because I find some speakers are like, it's almost like they're possessing us, you know, they're like manipulating us through their speech. But you were just, you were like compassionate, you were kind in your words, you were like really trying to inspire us, even though you maybe thought that you didn't, you know what I mean? It was really, it was so beautiful. And it reminded me of, I don't know if you know who Simon Sinek is. He's kind of like a thought leader himself. He's done TEDx talks. And he did something along the lines of speaking the first, like, he's just like you and I, quiet, you know, didn't want to go up there and speak and talk about what his passions were. But he felt that people would get the message across regardless of how it was presented. And I think that's so important. And that's what you did. And, I know through practice, you're going to be a better speaker, and I'll be your supporter along through your ride. So, because you're truly amazing, really. But, you know, thank you for this time. Before we conclude, I want to ask you a very important question, and that is, what matters to you?
That's a great question. I think what matters to me is, I think what matters to me is really just finding something that you love to do and just doing it to the fullest and really staying true to who you're called to be, and love yourself in every imperfection, because your imperfections are actually perfections.
Exactly. And powerful. Oh my God. I can't believe you said that, because that's what I think too. Wow. Truly amazing, Dawn. Oh my gosh. Thank you for this time. I wish you all the best. And I'm going to be looking out for you in track and field somewhere. I'm going to watch you on TV and support you, right? And cheer you on, right? Representing Canada, whatnot. So, thank you once again for this time. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me. This is a great conversation. I can't wait to see you just like inspire more people with just these podcasts.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.